Thanks for listening to Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Aotearoa, Dunedin.
Welcome to R1 News. Today is Thursday the 22nd of August. Today we have the bulletin and weather coming up for you. But first we have Runners by Haiyan.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
Welcome to R1 News at 1. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of August. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Jonah. In national news, a leaked lobbying plan from the tobacco giant Philip Morris detailing plans for, quote, political pressure to get more favourable regulations and tax cuts was successful. Guy Espino of RNZ reports. The leaked 2017 document titled Designing a Smoke-Free Future in New Zealand was obtained by RNZ. The document contained a corporate affairs plan to lobby for heated tobacco products, or HTPs, to be used as part of the government's Smoke-Free 2025 plan. The document said, quote, "It is essential that we move proactively to control the narrative about Philip Morris and Z, our products, and in particular, our potential contribution to harm reductions." The lobbying strategy laid out in the document recommended targeting New Zealand First and the multi-party to get heated tobacco products accepted into the Smoke-Free 2025 plan. NZ First Associate Health Minister Casey Costello is responsible for tobacco and vaping policy under the current government. She recently reduced the excise tax for heated tobacco products by 50%. This is part of a range of smoke-free policies implemented under previous governments that have been slashed by Costello. Heated tobacco products, such as the Philip Morris IQOS, use a mechanism to heat sticks of tobacco into a vapor rather than burning them into smoke. A cabinet paper signed off by Costello says that, quote, "There is not yet clear evidence that HTPs are significantly less harmful than cigarettes."
New Ministry of Regulation to pay staff an average salary of $152,000, Craig McCulloch of RNZ reports. The new Ministry of Regulation will pay its staff an average wage of over $150,000 and eventually grow its workforce to over 90 people. This comes after the coalition government campaigned off promising to slash back office spending throughout the public sector, and after they had heavily attacked the previous government for creating massive bureaucracies. ACT Party leader David Seymour oversees the so-called anti-red tape department. Seymour secured the establishment of this department in the tense coalition negotiations last year. Figures obtained by the Green Party have revealed that the median salary of this new agency is $154,500, which is well above the median wage of $84,800 in the rest of the public service. The average salary of the agency is $152,034, whilst for the overall public service, the average salary is $97,200. These reports also revealed that the ministry will have three deputy chief executives, each earning up to $350,000. Green MP Francisco Hernandez has called the coalition government's hypocrisy galling, considering the deep cuts in other parts of the public sector. Hernandez stated, quote, "The government has a double standard, one for its pet ministries and its pet ministers, and the other for the wider public service, which is actually doing really useful stuff," unquote. Hernandez also added that the ideology-driven agency was merely duplicating work and should be defunded, as he thinks this money would be better suited going to, quote, "real frontline services led Oranga Tamariki." In a statement, Seymour defended these salaries by criticising the media's focus on this ministry's salaries when more than 200 people in the public service earn more than $250,000 in Tier 2 roles. He stated, quote, "Despite this, the media are concerned with the ministry's average salary and its 91 permanent roles, when it is carrying out the long-needed work of addressing the country's red tape, which is going to save various sectors and many New Zealanders time, money and sanity." ANZ boss says New Zealand can't afford to own banks, RNZ reports. ANZ New Zealand's chief executive, Antonia Watson, has sparked a debate about the future of New Zealand's banking sector, asserting that the country cannot afford to own its major banks. Her comments follow the Commerce Commission's latest report, which criticised the lack of competition in a sector dominated by four Australian-owned banks, generating substantial profits. Watson addressed the report on the Morning Report, acknowledging that the bank's profits in New Zealand are higher than in many other countries. However, she emphasised that these profits are crucial for attracting and retaining foreign investment, stating, "We need to attract that foreign investment. I would love to be Kiwi-owned, but we can't afford to be. We don't have $50 billion to put the major banks into Kiwi ownership." In response to the Commission's suggestion that competition in the sector is limited, Watson pointed to the recent reductions in home loan interest rates as evidence of competitive dynamics within the department, within the market, she said. There is absolutely competition, but can we improve competition? Sure. Watson supported the Commission's recommendation as solid, but highlighted challenges related to open banking, a system that allows consumers to share their financial data with third-party providers. She attributed delays in developing open banking to the need for more regulatory frameworks. She noted that other countries, such as Australia, have progressed further due to established consumer data rights and regulatory systems. Quote, "We have been working really hard on open banking. One of the things we've been asking for is regulation. We need that consumer data right that makes it really clear where the liability sits when we are giving other people our customers' data, and would like an accreditation agency that makes it easier for the fintechs to deal with us." Unquote. ASB, BNZ and Westpac declined interviews, while Kiwi Bank, New Zealand's only major domestically owned bank, expressed readiness to challenge the market's dominant players.
In international news, Ukraine has launched a series of drone attacks on Moscow, The Guardian reports. The attacks come as the Ukrainian incursion into Russia's Kursk region continues to advance. Russia's defense ministry said that it had shot down 11 kamikaze drones before they reached Moscow. Ukraine launched a surprise invasion of Kursk 2 weeks ago now, and troops continue to advance there. Moscow's mayor, Sergei Sobyanin, wrote on Telegram that this is one of the largest attempts to attack Moscow using drones ever. Several drones were shot down over the city of Podolsk, 24 miles south of Moscow. Residents reported a buzzing sound in the sky followed by loud explosions. Currently, Western allies of Ukraine, including the US, UK, and France, have restrictions on their weapons being used against targets in Russian territory. These red lines were imposed by the Biden administration because of the perceived risk of nuclear escalation. On Monday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called for allies to lift these restrictions. This would allow the use of Western ballistic and cruise missiles to be used. Instead, Kyiv has developed an ambitious drone program to use on Russian targets, demonstrated by the latest series of strikes towards Moscow.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Wednesday the 22nd of August. Today's bulletin was written by Jonah Broughton and Charlie Cunningham and read to you by Jonah Broughton and Charlie Cunningham.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
We'll be back shortly with the R1 News weather report, but first we have Will Morrell with Not Anymore.
433,000 pieces on my heart, lying on your bedroom floor, 365 degrees.
The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
Welcome to the R1 News weather report. It is 11 degrees Celsius today, feeling like 10 degrees, and it is partly cloudy with chances of showers in the afternoon.
And if you're thinking about leaving your flat today, it'd probably be best to have three layers as it has gotten quite cold this afternoon. And if you do suffer from hay fever, it is a moderate pollen forecast today according to Met Service, so just watch out for that. And if you want to check the sunset tonight, which you probably won't be able to because of the clouds, but that will be at 5:58. And thank you for tuning in to the weather forecast.
The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
And thank you for tuning in to R1 News at 1 today. I'm your host Charlie.
And I'm Jonah.
And thank you very much, and catch us next Thursday and have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts, or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings. Thanks for listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.